Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Good evening, my beloved. How's everybody? Thus far in Radio Land. Thank God for another opportunity to give him the praise, to give him the glory, to give him the love, and to know that without him we can do nothing. There are many times in this life that we live we have to just come before God and and we thank God for everything he's doing. And one of the things I want to say, we got a group of, we got a brother and a wife that's coming on, and I'm very grateful to God for them. So I'm waiting to hear from him. Amen. Praise the living God. So if my brother, he was supposed to be there to take us to the next level, and we just say hallelujah. And all I can say to us tonight is that the times we live in, there are people, there are circumstances. We have to live for God. And we have to take God to the next level. One of the things I do take notice, I believe that if we will take God for what he says he is, God's going to do what he says he is. But if we don't want God to move for us, God ain't going to move for us. So I know that there are some people that's married, husband and wife, that are going through some challenges, and life is nothing but a challenge. But it's according to how you go forward doing what God has called you to do. So I have them on the radio with me on the phone. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Serena. How y'all doing?
I'm good, Dr. Hunter. How are you?
How you doing, Dr. Hunter?
I'm blessed. Well, I'll say to you and your listening audience, upcoming Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And may all that you look for through Jesus Christ, you'll get it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, the show is yours, so I'm listening. Go right ahead.
Okay. I was, I'm grateful. I'm excited that we are on the radio and being able to help people and just share with what people with God has done for us and with us. And this last week, I've been hearing loud and clear that we're to seek him in all things. And when I say seek him, I mean seek his word, seek him through prayer, seek him through everything and anything, seek him all through everything. And he also was showing me this. He was showing me that as we're seeking him and we're looking for him in his word and through prayer, that a lot of reasons that our prayers don't get answered as a husband and a wife and individually is because we're not seeking his word. We're not seeking his knowledge and his revelation and his discernment and his wisdom. And when I say seek, I don't mean, although, you know, going to church and listening to your pastor and doing all those things are great and wonderful, but go to the, you know, after you've heard the sermon, go to the Bible and look at the passages that were referenced during the sermon. That's seeking him. That's looking for him. That's looking, because he wants you to have your own revelation. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And I was watching Joyce Meyer this last week on TV, and she was talking about this, about seeking. And she was so funny because she really made me laugh because when we're talking about seeking God, she gave us some examples of a man and a woman when they're seeking, you know, certain things that are important to them. For example, you know, have you ever seen a woman who will seek a 75% off sale for shoes?
Yeah.
She will do anything she can to get that 75% off on that pair of shoes that she wants. And And that's how we're to seek the Lord, the same way. We're to seek him, you know, I mean, to the point of, you know, we want him and we're desperate for him. And the other example he gave me was of a man who sits in a deer lease out in the woods in the cold, waiting for that deer to come by so he can shoot Bambi, you know, and he's seeking that deer, right? So it's the same thing. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, those things are not spoon-fed to you. You have to go out and get it. And it's not a passive relationship. It is a an aggressive seeking relationship. And so those are just the kinds of things that he has been putting on my heart, that a lot of reasons why we don't get our prayers answered is because we're not seeking him. We're not asking the questions to him, and we're not seeking. So I guess the word is to aggressively seek God in his word and through prayer to get his revelation.
Amen. Amen. In addition to that, what's been going on in the great metroplex of Houston, Texas?
Oh, all kinds of things. Doors are opening up. People are contacting me. We are getting ready for a, a family to come over, and we have just been really, really blessed and humbled and really grateful. My husband and I have been talking a lot about how much we have and where we were 2 years ago, a year ago, 3 years ago, and compared to comparing, you know, how much the Lord has grown in our relationship, and not just in the material things, but also in, you know, our spiritual growth. Gil pointed out a really important passage to me the other day. It was Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. And it talks about, well, here, I'll let him share it with you. So hold on. Here he is.
Okay.
I can't remember the passage.
It was about sharing, defending the needy and taking care of standing up for their rights. And on he's remembering. No, he can't remember. That's what he says. Speak for those who can't, and that's what the passage is about. And he says, you know, this is the time of year where we do a lot of that when we go out and we share with people and talk to people. But it is an ongoing thing. And he was showing me how in the community that God has touched our hearts to be able to do that down in one of the historic communities here in Houston. And, you know, we didn't know the passage was there. We just went and did it. And then God, you know, shows us that passage in reading his book and searching, and he found it. And he says, hey, he says, look. He says, we're right on track. This is what we're doing. And he read the passage to me. So, you know, it just goes to show that he gives us a lot of guidance through the Holy Spirit. We just need to be obedient to it.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise the living God. But, you know, one of the things that I would say, the more we take God at his real word, the more God moves in his word through us.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I'm listening to your heart. You're talking about the upstate coming in your marriage. The upstate, all the time, update. In other words, what God is doing is supplying you with new information, tangible information, things to reach out and touch and tell, reach out with understanding, bring back in and tell those that you love. 2 years ago, 1 year ago, I wasn't where I'm supposed to be, but look what God has me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people that are listening to us tonight, and some have questions, some people, and I said it with love and kindness.
Mm-hmm.
If we get out, if we have access to the throne of God, all we got to do is come before God and say, "Look, Father, In the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. Why do I come before you? I come before you because Jesus Christ has paid the price so that I can come before you. Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. And that's how I tell people to approach God more and to think of knowing him, because he's giving you access. The access to the Father through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I believe what you and your husband are doing, because a lot of people I wouldn't be able to reach and touch, but you can. There are some people that are crying out to know what you got to say. There are a lot of people that's bawling out. Why don't somebody tell me? But also, I always say this, do you have time to listen?
Yeah. And I know it can be scary, and I know it can be hard. And I know that a lot of times we don't want to let go of the things that we, to tell you the truth, like doing in this world. We hang on to the stuff that is really not lining up with God's word. And I know because I was like that. But what I realized over time was that those things that I was hanging on to like that weren't making me happy. They weren't giving me the fulfilled and peaceful life that I was looking for, and it certainly wasn't adding anything to our marriage. So, it can be scary to let go of those kinds of things because they're comfortable to us, and we're used to doing them, and we know what will happen when we do it. So, but I encourage you just a little bit at a time, if you could not be afraid, because God is not, he loves you. He knows you're doing it anyway. So you're not hiding anything from him. You're not. You're only hiding it from yourself.
The Bible says that we get sent, God loves us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He does. And he wants to help you get past it. He wants you to stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. He wants to help you get over that. He wants to release you from that bondage of hanging on to it so that he can get you to that next level, so that you can trust him. Go of that, and we have to be obedient to his word, because even in the obedience doesn't mean God doesn't do anything to us that's going to hurt us.
Amen.
So if God isn't going to do anything that's going to hurt us, and everything that he does is good, then why can't we stop doing what we're doing that's going against his word and not lining up with him?
Well, one of the questions I would raise to you for the listening audience, there are many people that see you and pass you by, and they might sit in their own thinking, maybe if I talk to her, she thinks she's better than I am. Maybe if I talk to her, she knows more than I know. Talk to her, she knows something about me. Maybe if I talk to her, they always got that maybe I.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I like your and your husband's attitude. Y'all are always quiet. You got a very gentle approach to what y'all are doing. And you try to tell people not what you heard, but what you've experienced in life itself. And that's what they want us to do.
Because
I tell people, bringing the people to church, tell them they need the Holy Ghost. They ain't ready to receive. You got to teach them what it's all about. They ain't never heard of no Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They ain't heard of no man of hand. Because they need to be taught.
Yeah.
And Jesus took time to be with his disciples and said, I have much to tell you, boys. You better get busy. And I would like this statement. If you want to go to sleep because you're going to miss it.
Amen.
Well, let me ask your husband something.
Go ahead, Dr.
Hey, welcome.
How you doing?
Amen. Well, I know you've been coming, you're relaxing now, you know that it's just about doing what you need to do, and I know you got a lot of worries. A lot of men you passed by today, a lot of men you've been with today, God has spoken you for them, and you done prayed for some of them, and they don't understand it, but because God used you and to think of doing what you're doing. But perhaps you stop and talk with somebody. Do you want to share it with us?
Sure. Let me thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. marriage, good marriage, it takes a lot of work. It doesn't happen overnight. And
no,
it takes a lot of work. And
a lot of work.
But if you just pray to God, and it comes, it'll come naturally. It'll open up your eyes. You'll have the wisdom. And it becomes natural to be obedient. And you'll notice things, how some guys can be, I say, stupid, boyish ways, how they treat their wives, which is totally wrong, talking to them. I've seen it in front of me. And you want to say something to it, like, hey, don't talk to your wife like that. But I've learned from my experiences not to do that anymore. You just treat her as if she's your best friend. Treat her as, would you hurt your best friend? No, of course not, you won't. So treat her with the dignity and respect that she deserves. And it'll flow. The Holy Spirit will flow through you. Life gets a lot better. Blessings become answered. And week after week after week, things are happening. They're happening to me. I'm a living testimony that something good happens to me every week. And it's just all because of my obedience to God. Every week I'll tell Myrna, I say, hey, guess what happened today? And this, something good. There's a lot more positives than negatives that are happening now. And I'm sure every day I'm excited about the future. I'll wake up in the morning, on my way to work, I'll tell God I'm thankful for everything, and I'm excited that what the future is. And I can't wait. I'll just follow whatever you want me to do. I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Dr. Hunter, what he's talking about is a peaceful life. It's a peaceful existence with the Holy Spirit, and those are the kinds of things that we miss when we're not obedient. So he hit on a couple of things about, you know, just in the obedience and then being thankful for whatever God has in store for us. Whatever He gives us is good, and. And on a daily basis, he comes home and he tells me, you know, this happened today and this is exciting. And, you know, I got to testify to somebody today and someone came in and, you know, we talked about the Lord. And, you know, he gets so excited when that happens. And, you know, he's spreading the RAC, which is the Random Acts of Kindness, you know, there at work. And just some really awesome things, you know, just as a result of being obedient to His word and what God wants us to do. It says that, you know, treat your wife and treat your spouse with the dignity that they deserve. You know, it's irregardless of how the other person is acting, and that's hard to do. That's hard to do, but with the love of God, it's easy to do.
Easy to do.
Because all of God is, yeah, it's easy to do. Mm-hmm.
My. Nobody but our God. Our God. Oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
God is awesome. He is awesome. Amen. And, you know, I tell a lot of men, I tell them this much that I know. I said, well, my wife is a representation of me. She may not look like me, but she has my qualities. She has my understanding. Yeah, I might get upset at her, but I'm not going to put her down and talk about her and try to destroy her. I'm going to tell her, if you love her, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, when you love me, we'll submit unto Him. And see, wives are very precious. Not that I'm trying to put you on the rooftop, but wives are precious. Because if the wife on the rooftop raising ruckus, ain't nothing being done in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incumbent upon the man to take his opportunity to bring his wife and say, here's what your job is if you want it. Here's what your job or not can be doing. See, a lot of women have to be outside to work in the yard. A lot of women like to have somebody in the house help them. And I tell men, I say, look, don't think you better than this and that, because you're not. You can wash dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Hello out that dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
You can hang up clothes. You can vacuum.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Come on, don't talk like that. Yeah, I'm going to talk like that. Because men need to know, a lot of times we want to press the women back in the corner and say, sit over there. When they get on, come out of the corner and feed me.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in the corner. Mm-hmm. But that's,
yeah.
And I tell men, you are a true coward.
That's not what, and that's not what the scripture means when it talks about wives are to submit to their husbands. That's not what that means. Wives are to submit to their husbands because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are inside that man, inside that husband. And wives are submitting to the Lord, Jesus Christ, okay? They're not submitting to the human form. They're submitting to the Spirit of our Holy Father.
Holy Father would never
put a woman in a corner and treat her like that. Ever.
Amen.
So men who are misusing that scripture need to rethink what I just said. Okay? When I got that revelation of that scripture, yes, dear. Whatever you need, dear. Yes, dear. Because I'm submitting to my Holy Father.
Amen. Well, let me throw a monkey wrench in this. You got Melina, they married. One got their own direction, one got their own direction. And they always say, well, we can't ever meet up together. And I'll ask a question. What are y'all trying to meet up together? I'm busy, she's busy, 24/7. What about the weekend? She busy, I'm busy. So my statement to them is, if I'm going to help me, if you can't pull back some time and have quality time, you don't have nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So how do we get them to come to that understanding? To get all hooked up and listen. See, sometimes you can be doing so much and doing nothing.
That's true. You have to look at, it's like my husband was saying, out of the respect and dignity that each spouse deserves, you check with your partner. You check with your partner what they have planned and what you have planned, and then you come to an agreement on what is most important and what needs to get done. And then you go together. I know you can accomplish, people think you can accomplish more by separating, but in reality, you need each other there to help support each other as you're doing it. And a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, the busy work, just falls away and it gets done anyway, or it really wasn't that important. So, you know, you have to really look at what it is you're doing and why you're doing it, and then evaluate it together.
Amen. If, you know, I take notice of a man who took everything he had, and he said, because God said, Abraham, take everything you have and leave and come follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So I look back with many questions. I said, yeah, Abraham, a man that didn't even know God, but he was tired of the gods that he was around because they had a God for this, a God for that, a God, a God, a God. He said, I want to meet the one and true God. And as a result, God was moving him out. So the question I raised to everybody in the class is, why come the man and the woman can't do like they did back then when Adam and Sarah? Well, we don't know what they suffered. Yes, we do. You mean the woman going to be, before she got pregnant, 17? 15, 18, 26, all worship before she got pregnant. We don't know what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
But because they kept their faith on God, they were able to move mountains.
Right.
They was able to bring the number one seed out according to the covenant of God.
Mm-hmm.
They was able to introduce the wholeness of God through Jesus Christ. And, you know, I tell people, I said, are we, Mr. and Mrs., are we at real trouble today? I'm asking a question to somebody out there listening. Are we in real trouble today?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. We are. If we stop seeking God and seeking His Word and bringing it into the family and bringing it in as a husband and a wife and sharing it together and seeking it and being obedient, yeah. Yeah, we are.
So there are many folks out there that's got in their family today. They got homosexuals, they got lesbians, they got murderers, they got robbers, they got thieves. They got everything in their family.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, should we forgive them and lead them to where we're going, or should we lead them what God says? Or just leave it alone?
Well, we can be the example and love them.
Okay.
We can be the example and love them. That's all I can say. I think we run people off a lot by throwing scripture in their face and beating them over the head with the Bible. It's one of the things that turned me off from it from the very beginning. But if you treat somebody with the respect and dignity, regardless of what they've done, because nobody knows what I've done. Only God knows what I've done. And, the choices that people make is between them and God. And I really do think that we can talk to them about it if they're open to it, but we can also just love them, I mean, there, and move forward. Because a lot of times, like I said, you'll drive people away from who Christ is, and that's not what we want. We want them to come to Christ. We want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of the things that we're doing that go against God's word. And so if they can get filled with that, then the Holy Spirit will do its job and convict them of whatever it is that they're doing that doesn't line up with God's word.
Mm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, ain't got nothing to cut with. They ain't got no fork. I can just look at it and say, okay, food. Amen. Well, in the closing remarks, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the audience?
Just to be blessed and to enjoy this time with your family. Be the example of love in your family to attract them to Jesus. Especially for the ones who are not believers.
You have doubt.
And if you have doubt, just love them for who they are. Let the love of Christ shine through you, because that's what this season is about.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I want to thank y'all for coming back on once again and sharing with us the fullness of God's word. And I think we got another week on the beyond the 31st of this month. We'll start a whole new year. And
mm-hmm.
I will say this to you, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is there, patient and waiting on us. And you heard this family, the first family on the radio, they have said, it's not going to be easy, but we can do it together.
Yes, we can.
We respect each other. We respect mm-hmm. each other. We don't put each other down. When one's down, you go pick him up. When one's sick, you go make sure. You feeling all right? It's always to be in contact.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And I know this here. I will put a note to myself to mention on your next show. But I want to thank God for y'all showing up tonight. And may God keep y'all. And His love is more than anything else in this world. Amen.
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 Thank you, Dr. Minner. Good night.
Good night. God bless you.
You too.
Amen. No, not yet. Amen. To the praise be to God, to the God be the glory. We have somebody that we're still waiting for them to show up. And I thank God for everything that is that God is doing for us. And instructions are one of the best things you can have in this life. When you follow instructions, you're able to do whatever you need to do. Instructions give you a prime example. The how, the when, and the where. And it's up to you to do what you need to do. And I say this to you with love and kindness, that the God is there for us. And it's up to us. It's up to us what we want to do. I say this many times. I've been calling people and warning people. That's kind of the way I am. I love God. God's going to help us. But if we don't get up to help ourselves, the enemy's going to try to rob you of everything. And I just try to get a lot of people to know that the love of God is so in tune to our heart. Because when God loves us, it means he really loves us. Not what somebody else thinks or they believe. Because God has already said he loves us. And that is exactly what God means. See, when God says he loves this whole world, he gave everything he had to his son that he gave us the best that he had. It was the best that he had. When Jesus Christ disrobed himself from heaven and came down and walked among men, I mean, he personalized himself, but because it was a covenant that the Father and him had made together. We need to be ransomed. And the only way we're going to be is that God has to have a way to get into the earth realm through a man. But it was a plan that God had through his son, his only son. I mean, Moses, none of them could do anything but Jesus Christ. You go back and read all the prophets, the prophetess, those who walk with God, the Jericho Mark, you watch with them when it did what they did, but they were not, they fell short. Moses was a man who was face to face and could talk to God, but he fell short. Joshua fell short. Samuel fell short. Job fell short. All of them fell short, but he said, I got one who you have never seen or met, my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. And you know, that's why it's so important for us to know that without God's Son, we can do nothing. Nothing. And all I can tell you, beloved, tonight is the more we trust God, the more we're going to believe God, the more we're going to see God, and the more God wants to use us. But you know what? It's not up to you. Do you really want God to use you? Yeah, Lord, I do. But God has a roadmap for us. He said, suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Why did he say let little children come unto us? Do you know we got a lot of people in this life we now live in? They think that if they come to a childlike attitude, they've lost their position as being an authority. No, it gives you more movement of God. Because when you trust in God's word, and God say, the babes are the ones the kingdom is in. And we have to submit ourselves and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I want you to use me. And you know what? God will do it. But it's all about you doing what God wants See, all I can say to you tonight is, if you, do you really love God? Do you really love Him? I know some people say, well, you know, if you, when you love God, you love with all that's in Him. No matter what nobody else say, nobody what nobody else think, because God is always there. He's there for us. He loves us. And He loves us so, with such a power, such a love. And all I can tell you is, wow. Man, look, what Jesus paid for us, I mean, just think in your mind, the price He paid. Here it is at this time of year that we're living in, and we said, a baby came in a manger. No, the Son of God came 2,000 years ago. It is a constant reminder of us, but we have to walk into the now. Because what is the, so what the Holy Son has done for us, He has brought us to a point where all we got to do is love God who He says He is, and we take God as a thought. And when we take God as a thought, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. When Jesus came and walked this earth realm, He was first, at the age of 12 years old, his bar mitzvah. And when he was in Jerusalem, the father and the son said, Son, why have you done this stuff? Why have you left us? He was at 12 years old, and according to the tradition of Jews, which we are, said, we're about my father's business. It wasn't about the business that the world had. He's about his father's business, not earthly. Heavenly business. And then for 18 years, after he did that, they couldn't find him no longer. But on the 30th year, he showed up again. The Old Testament has migrated to the New. And he comes and met a man named John. And John, it forbids you that I should be baptized. Suffer it to be so, that we may fulfill the scriptures. And so I say to a lot of people, how many people have you baptized today in the water grave? How many of you people have got people to come in to know Jesus Christ? See, in the life we live in today, particularly America, the seven continents, everybody has studied up on the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, and they even got a pocket to put it in. But I will say this to you with kindness and joy in the Lord. The more you trust God at His word, the more God will establish you in His word. And the only reason why I go back and tell you, Moses had authority to speak to God, by God, and for God. He said, go and tell Pharaoh what I say. Now, here's God speaking to a mere mortal, immortalizing him, said, go speak to Pharaoh. And the Lord said, go and speak to him. And the one thing that got Pharaoh, it wasn't the fact of pressing his way in, oh, this stuff you're doing, I can do this, I can do that. But the one thing that is people who practice witchcraft, the reading of the stars, they couldn't do this. And when Pharaoh decided to do what he wanted to do, he said, and God said, let the blood be over the doorpost. Hallelujah. And see, a lot of people don't want the blood of Jesus Christ over the doorpost of their heart. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be submissive. And when they did that, when the death angel, singular, when the death angel came down, even they entered into everybody. Well, they saw the blood because they had a sickness from God. When they saw the blood, they passed over. And that's what we get the word Passover means. But also in addition to that, as they were passing over, God was modifying His people called Israel to follow His footsteps. And Pharaoh said, what happened to my son? Why is your God so mean toward me? No, why was you mean toward God's people? See, God had already prophesied where Abraham was going to be. People were going to be in bondage for 400 years, and they were there in Israel. I mean, correction, in Egypt. And as a result of being there, I would say this to all of us. Get it ready. Get it right. Because, as I said today, a lot of people don't like me to say this. I know that one day we shall live and we shall die, but I know I shall live. Because I'm living in the now. I'm not looking in tomorrow. I'm living in the now. Now God is available. Now God is. Now God hears my prayer. Now God. Now God. See, because God is an N-O-W. He's not a tomorrow, yesterday. He's now, past and gone. He said, in those days I did this, but in this day I do this. Yeah. Even when Moses could walk and split the Red Sea, God was still there. Fed them according to the book of Psalms, fed them of angel food. Now, you know, I learned been that day eat some angel food, probably something that even knows. Angel food. The angels had a delicacy that they ate. And it's God we serve. It's an awesome God. God is no respected person. God wants to take America to another level. But you know what? The fivefold ministry got to fall down before God. Because everybody wants to fight each other till they're down. And the enemy is slowly coming in. Look at America. We're falling by the wayside. We got all these foreign countries coming in with their attitude about Allah. Who is Allah? Who is that? I don't know him. I know the King of God. His son is Jesus. I know all came from there, but there's one thing that God put. God set a rule for us to live by. It's called truth. In the Middle East, we still have people fighting for what they call their rights. There is hate still there because you know what? The enemy of darkness is always sitting there. And the enemy of darkness is waiting for an opportunity to come in. And when you allow him to come in, he comes in and he wants to do you injustice. And don't you let me tell you anything. If you don't know who you are, he's going to do it. And I say this to everybody. I'm no better than you. Jesus even allowed the enemy to, as he did. He did what he did. Satan tried with all he had to get him to submit, commit, fall down. But because God, our Heavenly Father, gave him authority over all the power of the enemy. And he moved Satan to the next level in darkness. Do you think Satan going to be kind with you? No, he's not. He's not going to do it. He's going to try to disrupt the husband, disrupt the wife, disrupt the children. He wants to destroy everything. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, behold, look, the enemy comes but to seek and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life means in the now, not the yesterday. It means in the now. Now we talk to God. Now we just, see, you can't get husband and wife to be on the same boat unless they all, you get the same wife and husband be in the same kitchen. They all get the same. Why? Because that's how the enemy wants it to be. They ain't getting along. He's coming before God. Oh, they ain't getting along good. Look what they're doing in America. Look what they're doing in California. Look what they're doing in Utah. Look what they're doing in Chicago. Look what they're doing in Tennessee. Look what they're doing. And all the devil does, he says, see, I told you. But God said, no, I got a better way. We're going to do something to my son. We're going to know who the son is. Hallelujah. The son. Power has been invested in him. Authority has been invested in him. And he says, that that I have. When you go and read the 22nd chapter of Luke and the discussion that the brethren had about where they're going to be in the city. He said, hold it, fella. Let's cut out the shucking and jiving. Let me bring it straight point. He said, my father gave me a kingdom. They said, well, so? But I'm going to give you a kingdom. You're going to do what? They said, wait a minute, they raised up, so you're going to do what? Yeah, I'm going to give you a kingdom that you may come and sit at my table. And there, and said, my table, you'll be able to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Is he talking about the Jews? Talking about the Jew and the Gentile. One new man. Because that's the kind of God we serve. God is never living God. You see, I say this confidently. Love lets us stay where we're supposed to be. But hate can move us out of the place where we're supposed to be. I don't like what you said to me. I don't like what he did to me. Get over it. Being argumentative. I'm coming right into the houses now. Stop being so argumentative. Women, you ain't got no power than a man. Men, you ain't got no more power than a man got because they are all equally. Well, I got such and no, you ain't. God did not give out its anointing according to 10th power, the 20th power. He says the anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. So don't get up, Hunter, beloved sisters and brothers, trying to say that you got more authority. No, you haven't. Because the same power, is what the book says, the same power God gave you, gave it to you and me. Some people don't want what you got. But they want to stay in the background and try to help, but they don't. They want to stay in that. I told you what nothing to that woman. I told you what nothing to them. See, but the enemy always got somebody who can sit in the background and always say this, as I see about 100. Everybody wants 100, but nobody wants a truck. Everybody wants a truck, but nobody wants an airplane. And do you know, you know, some people, well, I don't know back in the day. We didn't drive. Look, if it's going to be a car going to get me to the next level, I want that, those new shoes. I don't want to be like a bum because God does not have a bum, a person that has nothing. God has a person that believes in him. God says in Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. I'm going to be on his wing. I'm going to be under protection. God's going to feed me. God's going to keep me. As long, see, here is the condition. I have to give my life to God through Jesus Christ. And God wants to give us the fullness of us to the world we live in. But you know what? There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that say, they're going to do what they're going to do, and that's that. But I want to tell you something. We're living in a time right now in America. We got the Republicans and the Democrats. They're fighting like little kids throwing rocks and dung at each other. Can't you grown men sit down and act like you got some common sense? Can't you women sit down? No, because the man in him has been just to believe, well, I'm better than him. No, you ain't getting nothing but a rascal. A monkey's a monkey. And a baboon's a baboon. And you know, old preacher told me, he said, I'm going to help you to understand it. He said, one day they had a party. When Mr. Lion got through, he got up and made a big roar and said, we're going to have a great time in the Eden Festival. He said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to let the two ugliest people in there wash the dishes. And so the baboon looked over at the gorilla, and the gorilla looked over at the baboon, and one said, why are you looking at me? I said, no, because you're going to dry them dishes. So if you can catch this, what I'm saying there. See, God doesn't say, well, I'm going to wash the dishes. No, somebody's going to dry them. See, God sees beauty in all of his creation, because he said in the first chapter of Genesis, and God said it was G-O-O-D. It was beautiful. It was complete. And on the seventh day, God rested. We don't even want to rest now. We don't want to. Everybody got their game they want to play. Yeah, you have. Been there, done it. I had my game I want to play it. And somebody said, if you don't be careful now. No, I'm not, because I don't have time for game. I have time to do kingdom business. See, God will take care of my ever words if I let him do what he says he's going to do. It's not so much I see it. It's how God is going to do it for me. And I say to you that are listening tonight, the one thing I say to you, you get it right, I'll get out of sight. Because Jesus is on his way back. And I don't want it on my watch that I didn't tell you what the Lord say do. I don't want it on my understanding that I missed them all. If I love God, I'm going to follow him. I'm not going to go against God. I'm going to be with God. I want God to use me. And the more I'm studying those old soldiers, they said we gave it all up to follow Jesus Christ. That's what I'm doing every day. I'm dissolving myself or my attitude to take up on the fullness of God in my life. So God can use me in this last hour, as it says in the book of Psalms, Lord, now that I've gotten old, don't let me fall. Raise me up that I can tell the next generation. I want to be able to tell them, if you can believe, when you can believe on what God said, you can do it. But everybody got a revelation. Everybody got a word. And I'm saying, why doesn't somebody have the truth? Because everybody want to do what they want to do. You know why they want to do what they do? Because in doing what they do, that's why we as human beings, when we just say, Lord, I surrender. All that I have belongs, all that I hope to be belongs to you. And Father, there's somebody out there on www.blockkaskradio that needs Jesus. And I extend the word to them in the name of Jesus that they will receive him as their Lord. And I prayed up on some of two or three that are listening, Father, that the touch of love will be over them. Somebody needs a healing in their body right now. I speak healing upon that body. I speak healing upon someone's ears. Those ears are opening up, Father. I speak peace in somebody's heart. Somebody's crying right now. I see the balls removed that are holding somebody in hospice. You're free. Satan can no longer take authority over you. Satan can no longer take authority. But it's up to you. It's up to you. And I want to let you know the love I have for you. God loves you. God wants you. God can do everything, but it's coming up on you and I to do what God say we're supposed to do. And you know what? Time that will come to an end in this life for all of us. But that's a place that he has for us. When you read the Bible and study it, God has a place. It's called the bosom of Abraham. And when I was going to college, we had a big discussion over that. And it's in the Bible. Why is it so? Because that's what God did. And remember on the cross? He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day. See, God, now God, this day. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. This day. This day. See, when Jesus died on that day, he said, this day, you shall be with me in paradise. In other words, that was a place that, hallelujah, that God has set aside for the believer, called the bosom of Abraham. And because the Bible says we're going to be downloaded, I may use this term, downloaded to those who are trusting in God. And you know what? Play game is over with me. Play game been over with me years ago. But I'm looking for some people who want to walk with God, with me with them. To reach out and tell somebody. I don't care how much education you got, because simple, if you're not simple, you don't have nothing. Because when you're simple, you have the Word of God. And you know what? When we upload God in us, God downloads in us. And I want to tell you this, much I love you. Until next time, we'll see you on the other side, if it be God's will. And the peace of God be upon you. Amen.
Much to bring, my heart's torn in.
Not knowing what? Yeah, I'm ready now. Yeah. You ready? Well, take it down. Okay. Be me and Doctor.
That walketh in his ways. He said, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Amen. It shall be well with thee when you have the fear of the Lord. Tonight we're going to have a host here, Dr. Newsom, will be with me in the talk show. Dr. Newsom, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing, Bishop?
Oh, long time. How are you doing?
Doing great, God.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, Bishop Echo.
Amen. Amen.
We're winning.
Amen. 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 So how's your family? Everybody's doing okay?
Everybody's doing good, Bishop. Everybody's doing good. Thank God. I tell you, God is so wonderful. We're winning, Bishop.
Amen.
We're winning.
That's what I want to hear, you know?
Amen.
That's what I want to hear. Amen. We're going to talk about the benefits of the fear of the Lord as a believer. What comes in as a blessing to you when you have the fear of God, you know?
Amen.
The benefits of the fear of the Lord. And I said we're going to discuss that tonight. It has been in my heart. So I said we're going to talk about it. What comes in when you have the fear of God? You know, the blessing that follows it. Yeah. We're gonna talk about it tonight. You know, when a believer fears the Lord, things will begin to turn around. Like in Psalm 128, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that shall walk in his ways. Mm-hmm. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. When you fear God and walks in his ways, he said, verse 2 says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thy house. Thy children like an only plant around thy table. He said, behold, thou shalt be blessed that feareth the Lord. He said, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Praise God. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. So the fear of God brings a lot of blessings. You eat the labor of your hands, you will see your children's children. What have you got to say, Doctor?
I agree with you. There's power in fearing God and honoring God. They go hand in hand. You're fearing God, honoring God, and that the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the scripture says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me or fear me, I will honor. So God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. And they that despise me or belittle me shall be lightly esteemed. So what God is saying, Bishop, just like you're saying, is that when you honor God, when you give him great respect, God in turn will give you great respect and he'll honor you. And that word honor, it means to glorify. It means to magnify. You know, when you put a magnifying glass over something little, it becomes what? Big. So God is saying that if you magnify me, if you make me big, child of God, I'll in turn make you big. If you're little and you make God big, you won't be little for long. God's going to raise you up. He's going to cause you to be weighty. He's going to cause you to be glorious. That word honor also means to be rich. He's going to cause you to be rich. He's going to cause you to be magnificent. So there's power in humility and honoring God. As you honor God, he'll promote you. No doubt about it.
Praise God.
And I'm taking that to the bank. That's what I'm counting on. I'm counting on me honoring God. God's going to make me rich. God's going to make me big. God's going to promote me. I'm counting on that because, you know what, I'm little. I'm little, and I want to be big. I'm small, and I want to be significant so I can give God. I love giving God glory. How are we going to be able to do this? By magnifying, by honoring God. So it's great what you're talking about tonight, Bishop Echo. It's one of the most important things that we can do. If we want to get promoted and raised up by God, the quickest way to do it is begin to honor God.
Praise God. So honor and fear of God move hand in hand. When you
they go hand
God,
in hand. They mean the same thing.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
You honor him with
everything you have. You honor him with your substance. You know, what you have, you give it to him and place it at the altar. You magnify him. Amen. Amen. You magnify him. Wonderful, wonderful. And that's where we go to Proverbs chapter 10, 27, where that says, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. You see? It brings long life. Fear of God also brings long life. Honoring God brings long life. And good health.
Yes, sir.
You know? Yes, it brings long life and good health. So and it says that we should always honor him and fear him, you know. It's important to fear God, you know. And I like that Proverbs 14:26 says, the fear of the Lord is also strong confidence, you know, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Can you imagine that? You have a place of refuge, and it gives you confidence that God is with you.
Yeah.
It gives you confidence that God loves what you are doing. God knows you fear him. God knows that the man which must learn to have the fear of God. If you have the fear of God, things will turn around for your good. You see,
yes,
it prolongs life. If you want to have long life in this planet, you want to live long in this planet Earth, learn how to fear God. Begin to practice the fear of God. Things will turn around for your good. And you were saying something about the fear of God brings wealth. It magnifies you also as you magnify God. And that's amazing. Because I was thinking about that too. That the fear of God will bring honor. You said he's going to bring honor. He's going to bring riches. You see? And that's what I'm seeing here in the book of Proverbs 22, verse 4. It says riches, he gives riches, honor, and life. You know, Proverbs 22:4. It says, by humility and the fear of God gives riches and honor and life. Look at that. Look at that. You honor God, he honors you. You know? You honor him with your substance. God now to give you wealth. You see what he's saying? It brings riches. It brings honor. It brings life.
He gives you
life in abundance. You'll be full of life.
That's right.
You know?
And he gotta do that.
If all things are filled in somebody's life, I know there's somebody listening to us right now. Practice honoring God. Practice magnifying God. Go to God and honor him. Praise him. You know? And thank him for what he has done before. You know? And when you thank him for what he has done before, you are honoring him. You are telling him, God, I have confidence in you. God, you did it before. You turned my captivity around before. Now you will do it again. You know, you are praising him. Honoring God involves praises. Involves worshiping him. It involves testifying of his goodness, you know, and that gives you life. That gives you life. If you want to be rich on earth, honor God. You see, he gives riches, honor, and life. I mean, what is it that you stay in life without riches and getting honor? These are the things that comes from God. Riches comes from God. You see,
in
Deuteronomy, I'm the one that giveth the power to obtain wealth for the sake of the covenant he has with you. You know,
for the sake of
the covenant he has with Abraham. It's important to have the fear of God. Our blessings are on hold because we don't fear God. You know, we are busy behaving like the people of the world. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, let not your heart envy sinners. You know, 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord. All the day long. If you have the fear of God, you will not envy sinners. You know that your blessings is more than that of the sinners. Amen. Those that don't fear God. Praise God. Doctor, what do you have to say?
On the other hand, and you see, and God got to do that. You see, he said, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. He swears. He swears that. In his word, he says, I swear I'm going to bless you. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. He said, I'm swearing by my own name because there's no other one that I can swear by but by me.
My God.
God says if he don't do what he he says he's going to do, he'll have to exist being God.
Oh, my
God. Which we know that's not going to happen. God is not going to no longer, he's going to always be God. He's going to always be God. He swears that blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. What do we have to do? We have to honor him. We have to honor him. That scripture says in the latter part of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he says, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me or belittle me shall be lightly esteemed. So if we don't honor God and if we belittle God, we're going to be empowered to fail.
My God, my God.
Empowered to fail. So either we can honor him, and then God, he'll in turn honor us and magnify us and make us rich and promote us, which he will. He will. If we despise him and belittle him or the things of God, then he's going to empower that person to fail.
My God, which means honoring God and fearing God, he will empower you to be blessed, empowered to be blessed. Yes.
And he's not going to lie against himself.
My God. I remember I was thinking of it in the way it says in the book of creation and in the book of Genesis 1, and it says God created all these things and blessed it and blessed them. You know, he created all these things and blessed us. And which means the blessings we are seeing, when he said he blessed us, which means he empowered us to be blessed. Because he has empowered us to be blessed. So the honoring and fearing and honoring God will empower you to be blessed.
Because they mean the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Honoring and fearing God mean the same thing.
Which means the wealth we have, the riches we have, the houses we have are the manifestation of the blessings. Praise God.
That's it.
Wherever you go, you are going to be blessed. I believe that people here listening to the sound of our voice. In few minutes' time, I want you to pray for those who are going through some stuff. Amen. I want you to pray for them. Because I know that they are going through some stuff and they don't know how to come out of that stuff. The only way to come out of certain stuff is for you to have the fear of God and honor him. Go to the Lord. Go to church. Get there. Begin to praise him, even in your house. Praise him. Honor him.
Speak goodness.
Speak about the goodness of God. Talk about his goodness. Honor him with your substance. Amen? In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, honor the Lord with your substance. It's important for you to honor God with your substance.
Absolutely.
Amen. What you have, give it to him. Our time is him. Give it to him. Our money is us. Let's give it to him. And he will bless us. He will bless us abundantly.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, I'm so excited that you are speaking tonight, a man of God. I'm telling you. Look at it in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruit of all thy increase. It says,
so shall
thy barns be filled with plenty. So this means giving God something is like honoring him. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's
honoring God by giving. Amen.
Amen.
My God.
Honor God by giving. You know what, Bishop? Another way you say, so you're saying right here you can honor God with your money. Another way we can honor God, by being moved more by what he says than by what man says.
Amen. That's standing by his policy, standing by not derailing, you know, follow his rules and do as commanded, be a hearer and doer of the word.
And
not what the world is saying or what man is saying. Man,
that's
honor. Amen.
I just want to hear.
I just want to obey God. That's honor. You're honoring him. Praise God.
John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we need to be moved more by what God says than by what any man says. If the doctor may tell you one thing, but you need to be more moved by what God says. If the doctor says you're sick, then if you're going to honor God, you got to be moved more about what God says. With this right, I am healed. You
got to
trust God no matter how what a man says. If it's not saying what God is saying, who are you to be more moved by? God's word.
Ooh, I love
when
that.
When you do that, you're honoring God.
That's a good one. It's like you were with me. Somebody called me today with the bad news about his health. I said, whose report will you believe?
Yes.
You got to believe the report of the Lord. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
When you believe the report of the Lord, forget about what doctor says. Amen.
Forget
you are
about
honoring
what doctor
God.
Says.
Ooh, this is great. This is great. Doctor, you've given me some stuffs here. Praise God.
Oh. Glory to God.
Doctor, we're gonna use this for a few minutes right now. I want you to pray for those who are listeners of this program, who are going through some stuff. Maybe there are people who are gonna call for prayers, different type of prayers. I want us to pray for. I want you to pray for them. Okay, pray for those who are listening to us right now. Some of them might be going through some stuff, alright, and they don't know how to go about things. And we're talking about honoring God. Amen. We can honor God by testimony of what he did before. Amen.
Yeah.
You can honor God with your time. You can honor God with your talent.
Yeah.
You can honor God with everything that you have belongs to you. I heard in the book of Mark where he was saying something about tell them the master has need of it. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
The master has need of us. Let's honor him with our body. Let's honor him with our time. Let's honor him with our talent. Quickly, let's pray for those who are listening right now, man of God. You can lead the prayers. Yeah.
Okay. Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. You're the mighty God, the only true living God. Father God, I'd like to pray for everyone that's listening right now. Father God, I pray strength into their bodies. I pray peace into their minds. Father God, lift them up and raise them up. Encourage them, Father God. Send someone to encourage them. Encourage them right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Make a way for them, Father. Help them, Father God. Help those who are in their sick beds right now to get up out of those sick beds, Father God. Help those, Father God, who are going through different types of troubles, Lord God. Please work it out for them, Father God. In the name of Jesus, those who are without a pastor, Father God, lead them to their pastor, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, help them, comfort them, strengthen them, elevate them, encourage them. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Dr. Newsom. To cap it up, we got to learn how to fear God. We got to learn how to honor him with our substance, honoring God. That just like what you said, is also fearing God, you know. And we must learn to obey God by his word. Just like you said, we have to be hearers and doers of the word. And we got to put our foot down. Is that not what you said? We got to put our foot down. And
yes, sir.
And, man of God, please, can you quickly describe and give them your address?
My address
and your programs. Yeah.
The name of our church is Word of Faith Christian Center Church International. We're at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. That's the name of the street. 984. Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, here in Houston, Texas. That's 77088. And our service times on Sunday morning, we start service at 10:30. At 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and then Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, in Houston, Texas, 77088. My telephone number is, you can reach me. I'll give you my cell number. That's 281-726-5415. That's 281-726-5415. Thank you, Bishop.
Oh, well, God bless you. God bless you for coming to our program. You are listening to Bishop Echo Show, and we just had Reverend Dr. Newsom. It was our guest speaker tonight, and it's wonderful. Well, I'm the host, Bishop Echo, of Church on the Rock Fellowship here in Houston, Texas. We are in 15987 West Tama Road, Houston, Texas. Our weekly activities is Wednesdays at Bible studies at 7 p.m. And on Fridays, we have prophetic night. And then our Sunday service starts at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Our phone number is 832-373-3227. You are all blessed, everyone that is listening. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. God bless you. Bye.
Yeah. Amen.